Hello, and welcome to Selective Hearing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Selective Hearing. I'm your host, Julie DeMar, and this week I am here with very special guest, Mary Ann Francis, and we are going to take you on a wellness journey today. So if you're already on your treadmill, or if you're in your car, or if you're at work listening to me when you're not supposed to be, turn your earphones all the way up because you definitely want to hear this. So, hey, Mary, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I always love to give every guest the opportunity to share their story. So how did you get into the wellness industry?
So, you know, oddly enough, I'm one of those that maybe senior year of high school, I knew I wanted to take up psychology, right? I went to undergrad for it, and then I realized I really want to help people. Coming into the marriage and family sector of things, I didn't know that was exactly what I wanted to do until I started going through kind of a tumultuous journey regarding like co-parenting and trying to manage that. And in my head, I'm like, well, if I can take up marriage and family therapy, maybe I can understand the concept a little bit deeper and really start, you know, fixing my situation, and maybe it can help other people as well. So I stumbled upon it and I really started to enjoy the process of it. Throughout that, I realized, well, I can't really fix those that don't want to be helped, right? But for those that are ready for the change, that want to be helped, I enjoyed that. And that turned into a passion that I've been doing for such a long time. I've been in business for over 10 years, and it feels so good to really just help those who are ready for that change.
What aspect of health and wellness do you focus on?
So a few different things. So I have a talk therapy and wellness retreat. So on one end of it, I help people through the problems through talking about it. But in 2021, I discovered more of the wellness sector, right? And even maybe I would say 2019, when I started becoming a Reiki professional, and right now I'm a level 2 Reiki practitioner. For me, it's not only about the mind aspect, but as well as healing the body energetically. And that, you know, rang so much for me. And then we started getting to the aspect of self-love and understanding what that means, and including different aspects of self-love and self-care. And I just fell in love with that piece of it, just combining everything.
That is one of the things that we love discussing on this show, self-care. Like, I light up when self-care comes on. And self-care always comes up, and self-talk always comes up. And I feel like those are very, very important things to always shine light on. But like, we're going to circle back around and talk about self-care real quick, everybody, because what do I always say every chance I get is that in order to take care of everybody else, you have to take care of you. So self-care is not selfish. I'm going to ask you to kind of dive into that. Can we talk about self-care for a second before we get into your retreat?
Absolutely. Yes. So self-care is that aspect where people are really focusing on their body, right? And trying to get more in tune and in line with themselves and well-being. My part of it is really about the self-love. And those combinations oftentimes are intertwined, but they're two different concepts. And I think that's what differentiates myself with a lot of the self-care retreats that are out there, because we're working on our body. We're identifying certain things that feel good to us. People are enjoying hobbies. People are doing the yoga or the meditation and working on that aspect, because a lot of times when you are in life, you're not taking the time or space to really enjoy life. Are we really living it, or are we just going through it trying to survive? And what we realize about past generations is that they were in survival mode. And now we are trying to do something different in our generations and pushing that self-care aspect, because we realize we can't live off of survival mode. That is not a life worth living, because you look back when you're older and you're like, well, what did I end up doing, right? What did I end up enjoying for myself and what felt good to me? And a lot of times things don't feel good because sometimes we're living in traumatized states. So adding the self-care piece is super important, because it helps you relieve yourself from sort of that survival mentality, and it allows your mind and your body to breathe. and to be present in that moment. So self-care is such an integral part of living life.
To share a little with you, I used to think that taking care of myself was like the wrong thing. Like it was like, no, you can't step away and do this. Like you got to take care of the kids. You got to take care of your husband. You got to take care of your job. I always put myself last and didn't realize until I stepped out of that position how detrimental that was to my own mental safety, my mental health and everything. So like, that's why I light up anytime anybody brings that aspect of self-love to the table during these discussions, because it's really important that we look after ourselves. What inspired you to create a health and wellness retreat, and what unique approaches do you offer compared to other programs?
Yeah, so I realized during COVID was such a monumental point and pivotal moment in a lot of people's life. My practice started blowing up with two different populations. One was couples, because I'm a marriage therapist, right? And the second one was women, and women who were experiencing self-doubt, the feelings of being selfish, and as well as not feeling aligned with what they wanted out of life. You know, a lot of times in this generation, we're about 40 years old and we're like, what am I doing and where am I going, right? I'm not really happy. Because there was a lot of women that were coming on my screen saying, I'm not happy with my life and where it's at. And I was providing them the education on self-love, learning how to align yourself with your desires and your needs. And sometimes it means releasing some of the things that no longer serve you. I figured, what better way to really teach that than maybe in a group setting, aligning that the self-love aspects and teaching the self aspect, because that's part of my education, and integrating it with the self-care. Because again, like you said, most often women in particular feel like that's selfish. We have a long list of to-dos. We don't think that we can do the to-dos and take care of ourselves. But you can't really be fully there for people if you're not there for yourself. And you have to think about, what are we teaching our children, in particular our daughters, that we're supposed to be superwomen, we're supposed to be robots, and we're not supposed to take care of ourselves. And that's not true, because we can't show up appropriately for other people if we're not showing up for ourselves. So these retreats came into play in 2021, when I said, you know what, I'm not only going to self-publish a guided journal to help women through this and understand Black self-love and tools to enhance it, but I'm going to run a workshop, a two-day overnight retreat, and I'm going to teach them this and integrate the self-care aspect. So this really started hitting off then when I had my first retreat, and women were amazed by the transformative experience. And I wanted to purposely take them away from their environment, because when you're in your own environment, you can't focus on it the way you should when you are completely away from it and diving in to it. So that's kind of where it came about.
I will set goals. Like I did a challenge last year, and I literally, it was like 66 days of fitness, where the only thing you had to do was 15 minutes a day just to get yourself in that habit. I went for like 87 days straight, and then I just stopped. I was like, oh, I did 87 days. Like I was journaling about it. I was killing it, right?
Really?
I'm gonna take this day off. That day turned into like 3 months. So what advice do you have? And I want to get into like us talking about, you know, like some of the struggles of people maintaining the healthy lifestyle and things like that. But you go to the retreat, say, I'm going to use me as an example because I'm good at this. So like, say I come to your retreat. Oh, I feel great when I leave the retreat. I got this, girl. I'm going to do it. And then I'm in the grind. But then this kid's doing this. My husband's doing that. The dog's barking. I got the business. I have all this. Like, what advice do you give, or what tools do you provide, so that when I leave your retreat, I continue to be realistic and successful at the things that you just provided me with?
One of the key points that you hit was the realistic part. we have to be realistic about what we can do as part of adding it to our routine or our schedule, as well as making sure that the people surrounding us are supportive of that. It's harder to add this into your lifestyle if people around you aren't supportive with it. And it's not to say because they're not supportive, then forget about it, because you can't do that to yourself. You owe it to yourself, which means you have to add the intentional piece of it. So we're just into 2024 and people set their New Year's resolutions, right? And oftentimes, even those fall apart. And they fall apart because you forget the intention behind why you're doing what you do. It's that mindfulness piece of learning to be present and understanding what this is actually doing for you and how it's helping you, because life is going to keep lifing. And if we don't allow ourselves to add in the pieces that we see fit for us, we will allow life to continue bombarding us and plowing us over and over again, us not doing what we came to set out to do, what feels good for us. Because oftentimes, again, when I add in that self-love piece, I feel like that's the integral piece as far as these retreats go, because it's the mind shift that you have to do. After a while, we're like, oh, I'm good. I used to do that a lot when I was working out. 2 months it used to take me to get my belly to fit into my jeans, right? I'm like, that's all I really need. But then I realized, as you get older, 2 months isn't cutting anymore. We're just 2 months is not working out. I need to add this more into my lifestyle as I get older, because that's the intention behind it. It's not just about working out to fit into something. It's really about what's the mindset, the intent, how does it make me feel? And I felt good and energized. I can't front. I don't like really exercising, but I know that when I do, when I'm done, I feel really good about myself. I feel energized, and I'm ready for the day. So I have to remember that piece, and that's the thing that's going to keep you going, the intent behind it, and how does it make me feel? So that's one of the things we try to hone in on, is the feeling. And to help women continue, because that was one of the things, the feedbacks that I received was, we love this, but how can we keep it going? So I started creating monthly Women Day workshop. So now you got to show up for yourself every single month, even if you don't do it on a daily basis. And in those women workshops, that's when we're doing all sorts of things, whether it's the education piece, or whether that's hiking, or whether that's indoor rock climbing we're going to be doing, whatever it might be. It's really about learning to add it into your routine, or at least that once a month that you need for you.
I just thought about that when you were saying this because I know like for me like finding I have a like a accountability group that I joined. Do you do that? Do you have like accountability services that you offer where it's like maybe a accountability partners or things like that?
So that is something that I'm adding this year, and it's going to be a part of a membership. So that part of that membership is meeting monthly to be able to discuss, where are we at? What are we looking for? What are your challenges and the barriers to really implementing the self-love and self-care piece to your life? And what can we do to support you? Because the motto is connect, empower, and grow. How can we support you in those aspects of being unapologetically yourself?
I love
I
that.
love that.
I love that. I love how much like these conversations are becoming so normalized and how like women are really like stepping into their true selves and like reclaiming their power and understanding how great it is to like and how free it is to be that this way. Like I really love that we are shifting the narrative around all of that to know you can be yourself and still be a wife and still be a mom and still be a community leader and still be, you know, powerful and beautiful and strong. And like, I love this so much. I really would like to get into like maybe like the fitness components that are involved in what you do.
So I leave a lot of the things that I'm not experts in, I leave it to the experts, right? I know my areas of strength, And fitness is not one of them. What I have done, like sometimes I do lives and I collaborate with other people in other professions. These are the things that we kind of bring to the table, right? So I collaborate on lives with women who are in the fitness industry, who are trainers, whether virtual or in person, and we talk about those things, as well as some of the activities I do. Like I mentioned, indoor rock climbing is something that we're going to do, and that involves a level of a fitness just as well. And we also bring out other health pieces, and that might be nutrition. I intentionally bring out speakers and collaborate with people who know it best because I don't know it all. Again, my area of expertise is on certain things, and it's still such an integral part. Again, as we get older, we realize that some things aren't working the way they used to. In order to grease the wheel, we have to be intentional about what we're doing as far as our overall well-being, our overall health and mental health. And one of those aspects is adding the fitness. I encourage to be part of like a fitness journey for my own well-being, because again, that's one of the aspects in my life where I need improvement. So I've been working on that myself. I have my virtual trainer and we're just doing it. And I have to say, you're right. Like once that week or two goes by, it's hard to get back into the mix of it. Sometimes that happens. And then you say, nope, I have to get back into it. It's the intention behind why you're doing what you're doing. So, ladies, keep up with yourself because it's so important.
And when you circle back around, oh, for me it hurts. And I have to tell myself, oh goodness.
I'll be honest, like there was a point because I really didn't like fitness. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I started on my bed. I was that lazy. And I would say, you know what? I'm just gonna raise my legs a couple times. And to me, I had to applaud myself for that, right? And be like, you know what? You did five reps of that and you're good. You're okay. And then it started from, okay, stop being lazy. I'm not gonna do it on the bed anymore. I can go and motivate myself at least doing some floor exercise. So I started off through the floor exercises. And even if you start off with 2 minutes of it, applaud yourself for even adding it in to your day and your routine and note how you feel. Because again, it's all about the things that you're doing. There's times where listen, I know it might sound crazy, but sometimes in the shower. Let me hit up those squats real quick. Let me raise my leg a little bit, whatever it might be, but I know I'm adding it in and I am being intentional about that process. And then slowly over time you realize it starts adding in when you're doing a lot more. And again, I signed up for a virtual because going to the gym wasn't working for me. So whatever is going to work for you, do what works for you.
Yeah, I feel you on the shower. I was stretching the bathtub. I was like, all right, girl, grab those toes. There you go.
And applaud yourself for it because you
I
did
did
it.
it. When you said that, I was like, no, that doesn't sound crazy at all. 'Cause I'll be in the bathtub stretching, like, yeah, I did that. Oh man. Okay. I know, like, we've been talking about the retreat a lot, but I wanted to kind of go into a couple things from the pre-interview, because you have a lot going on, and I like the listeners to know, like, hey, everybody that comes through these speakers, we are all the same. We're just like you. We all, like you said, life is life. And so you're a mommy and a wife, like, how do you find the balance? You're helping everyone else and you're helping yourself and you still have your family. So
Yeah, so I like the fact that I was able to create my own space up in the attic away. And then when the door is closed, it's like the hammock. Leave me alone because I'm in my space and doing what I have to do. And usually it's work, but there's sometimes again I work out up here. So it helps me distinguish like this is where I'm at and where you guys are at. And so therefore this is my time, right? It helps me kind of differentiate that. But I ended up learning that and the purpose of doing that when I was younger, because I didn't have a lot of time at that point. I was a single mom and trying to make all the things work on top of going to school, on top of working and taking care of my daughter. When I got married, I just felt like it adds another layer to things, right? Because now you have all these, you have more people to take care of. And when you have a partner that can meet you halfway, it's helpful in doing that. And again, the supportive part, how supportive are you in not only my stuff, but how am I supporting your stuff too in your journey? That's a, such an integral piece in order to be able to help manage the things that are going on. And as we know, entrepreneurs, any entrepreneurs out there know, like, it's hard running a business. And sometimes it feels more like 24/7, but you have to take space for yourself, as well as sometimes spending time with the kids. Sometimes it can feel heavy and sometimes it can be fun, right? Sometimes it helps people bring out the inner child in them, and that's okay too. But you have to learn how to schedule each and every piece. Now my kids are grown, right? They're going to be 19, 21 years old. So they're a little bit older, but they still have needs. They have different needs. And still being, learning to be there for them and cater to them in certain aspects, as well as saying, no, this is my time and mommy time. And it's planning that out. Sometimes it's a plan. And sometimes it's like, oh, you're at school or you're at work or you're doing this. This is my time. I'm going to go ahead and book that spa, or I'm going to go ahead and just take a drive, whatever that might mean. So it's, again, being intentional about the time that you're, that you want and need for you.
I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, 2 boys.
And boys are different than girls.
Way different. Like, the energy in here is crazy. And I feel like I have a pandemic baby. So my 3-year-old, I don't know where he came from. I don't know what this is. Like, because my 5-year-old is like this loving, caring, gentle soul. And he's very like cautious. Like, he's like, let's think about that before we do it. And he's like, okay, we can do it, but we have to do it this way to stay safe. My 3-year-old is like, let's just jump off of it. What are you talking about? Like, let's break something. Let's go. And I'm like, every day, I'm just like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I heard the pandemic babies were different. but I'll tell you too, I wonder if that's a second child thing. I'm a second child. I was told that I was pretty rambunctious myself.
Yeah.
Only certain people could watch me. It was my grandmother, my mom's mom at the time, that could really only watch me because I was rambunctious. We turn out amazing.
Look, I know he's going to be great, but he right now, I'm like, there's not enough coffee. There's not, like, he's funny too. Like, he'll be like, we were in the store and I was walking up and down aisles the other day. And he was like, Mom, what, you looking for your caffeine? And there was like so many people behind us and they just all started laughing. They were like, he's so cute. And I was just like, yeah, I'm looking for caffeine.
They're unfiltered.
No, he doesn't care. And like, he just had this smile. Like, everybody was like, he's so adorable. And I was like, I need the caffeine because I got to keep up with him. Like, he.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, they're something else. But they definitely always say they're the reason why I kind of got it together, because I was like Hot Mess Express. And then I was like, well, I don't want them to be Hot Mess Express. So I got to figure some stuff out over here. And yeah, but they're pretty cool.
Yeah. Kids will do that too. Kids will kind of make you realize the things that you might be needing or lacking in life. And they tend to say that one of the children tends to bring out the inner child as well. So each, you learn something different about each one of your kids, depending on their personality, or one of their personalities might be one of you, right? My daughter, I would say, she got the part of me that was more feminist and like appearance and caring about my parents and stuff like that, because back in the day, I was more of a tomboy. But she definitely got the part of me that was like, oh, okay, the shoes and, you know, making sure everything's prepared and good and set, you know, and that's definitely her.
I always say my oldest got the side of me that I couldn't embrace until I became an adult.
Mm.
He's so loving and gentle, and he cares about everybody, and he just has like this nurturing, empathetic spirit to him. He's so, like, I'm like, he's so sweet and he's so sensitive. And it's just like, when he, everybody's like, oh, I just love at school, I just love him, and he's such a sweet child and he's so caring. And I'm like, whenever I look at him and I see those things in him, I'm like, gosh, like, that it's like a mirror.
Yeah.
Like, looking at him, and like, I try so hard every day to like just keep that intact, because like, I know what it feels like for that to be broken. So it's like, oh my goodness. But I just like appreciate also watching that like grow and develop in him, because I was like, I know he's gonna be like, girls, he's gonna make a great husband one day. One day. Right now he only wants to marry Elsa. But one day, you know, when Elsa is not a thing, he realizes Elsa for real.
Right.
He's going to Disney this summer to find her, to try to marry her. But one day, I know
That's cute.
he's like, I'm gonna marry Elsa when we get there, and we're gonna live in Arendelle. I'm like, okay.
You never know. Dreams come true.
Yeah, you never know, but I know he's gonna be an amazing husband, 'cause he's so considerate and caring, and I love that about him. So, yeah, well, thanks for sharing about your life and your family. That's really cool of you. Okay. So, I love to hear about these success stories. So, can you share like your favorite, like just a couple of your favorite testimonials from people who you've helped?
So one of the testimonials that I had recently was about her not being connected to females, right? And having a hard time connecting to females, but having a more intimate space, because my retreats tend to be on the smaller side, allowed her the space and the ability to be vulnerable and actually find connections within that space to share her vulnerabilities, connect with other women. And that piece for her ended up being one of the most transformative pieces, because again, it's sharing a part of herself that she doesn't really share even in her personal life and her world, because she's trying to be a boss. And that's different when you're trying to be vulnerable and have your feminine energy, right? So that's one of the experiences that somebody had. Another testimonial was being able to say, hey, I know the parts of me that need the healing. And being able to identify that healing for myself was an integral piece in my self-love journey, because I need to not be mad at that part and reject it, but learn how to nurture it for myself. So these are just a couple testimonials that I've had from the retreats. And women, you can have one thing, but women take different aspects of it for their personal journey. And that's what I love about hosting a lot of them.
When I first read about retreat, I was thinking about, have you ever seen that movie Couples Retreat?
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Like, I haven't done one yet. I want to do one. Like, I want to go on a retreat. I want to do like a girls one, and then I want to do like one with my husband. But I every time I hear the word retreat, I don't know why. It always sends me to that movie, like like being on the beach in Bora Bora. Like, that'd be nice.
I'm not going to Bora. We're not going to Bora Bora, but we have a retreat coming like that.
Yeah, on the beach, real nice. I love the beach. Like, oh, something so free about the water and the sand. And I live in Michigan, so it's cold. We can't wait for heat and to go to the sand and to the water and stuff like that. Okay, I have to ask you what I like to call the big show question, and that is, what does selective hearing mean to you?
So to me, selective hearing is about taking in the information that you are selectively choosing, right? We can hear about a whole bunch of stuff, but what are you really listening to? And what really resonates with who you are, your journey, and your experience? It doesn't mean that we aren't hearing the other parts. We might, put it subconsciously, and when we need it, we'll bring it out. But selective hearing is about taking in what's most integral and part of your journey in your life, even at that moment, or keeping it for keepsake for something that's more future related. So being selective about what's coming in and pushing even some of the negative stuff out, so that way you're not feeding into it.
Yes, protect your peace.
Yes, you
At
have
all
to.
costs, you have to protect your peace. So, share with the audience how they can connect with you, where they can find information about your retreats. Also, everyone, please remember that this information is being shared right now, but it's also going to be in the show details and on the resource page at selectivehearingshow.com. So, you can find this information everywhere. So, grab a hold of it and check it out.
So I have a website. It is www.una-apologetically.org, and as well as my social media platforms, I have Instagram. It's unapologetically underscore movement. So you can find me on those places. The website is a great place because it has a lot of other features as a blog and daily affirmations that you can look into as far, and as well as looking into the retreat that I'm having in 2025 in April. So we will be going away for that one. So it'll be a great time.
And
Yeah.
everyone, again, please drop down in the show details or head over to selectivehearingshow.com. Go to the resource page where you will find a beautiful picture of Mary Ann Francis. And it will say Mary Ann Francis website. Just click the button and go directly to her and ask her any questions. Check out the retreat. And until next time, everyone, this is Selective Hearing. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.